Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministries. This 2019 is going to prove to be one of God's greatest years in the life of those who serve God.
The Voice of Yahweh is a radio ministry of Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch of the Lighthouse Church Incorporated of Wyoming, Delaware. Enjoy the message.
I sat for a couple hours seeking God's face. What do you want me to give the people? Nothing. Nothing. I think it's 1:30, quarter to 2. I said, well, I fell asleep, my head smacked the desk. I said, I'm going to bed if you're not going to talk to me. I went there and got all settled down to bed, got so comfortable I just couldn't hardly stand it. And he said, transparent. I want my people to have transparency. And I thought, that's good. And he kept talking. I said, oh, no. That means I got to get up because you're just giving me the message. So here's his prophetic word. Transparency. I went out there and just wrote as fast as I typed as fast as I could type and said, hurry up, God. All right, transparency is what he wants us to be or have. All right, the word transparent is transmitting light, able to be seen through with clarity. In other words, people should be able to see through us with clarity. We should have such a bright light shining through us. And Luke 12, 1 through 3 says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. God is going to uncover all sin. I want my children to become so transparent that all can see who they are in me. There will no longer be doubt in the eyes of the world who and what my chosen children are. The world will see lights like never before. You know, you'll be the lights. They will see love and compassion demonstrated on all, on an all new level. And this love and grace will draw them to the throne room. Let's read that one again. He's talking to you. He knew who was going to be here tonight. He's prophesying these messages. He wants you to take heed to what he's saying. I want my children to become so transparent that all can see who they are in me. There will no longer be doubt in the eyes of the world who and what my chosen children are. The world will see lights like never before. They will see love and compassion, and God spoke about love last night, right? Demonstrated on an all new level, and this love and grace will draw them to the throne room. It's your love and your compassion, your grace, that's going to draw the world to Christ. When you go out there in the street, they're going to want to see love and compassion and grace, not being put down, not being condemned, but be drawn to God through love. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They're not glorifying you through your good works. Your good works is glorifying the Father in heaven. And God went on to say, my church will be so on fire that the entire world will stop and take notice of them and what is occurring all around about them. For they will be operating in the greater works, and much shall be accomplished in a very short time. For years, God was having me say, fire, fire, fire. Remember that? and you guys would really get the fire. Well, God was starting a fire within inside of you, and he's going to ignite that thing, and it's going to just take you over. And God went on to say explosion after explosion will start occurring all over the world. And he's talking about the lights exploding with his glory. I have purposed in my heart to have a church on fire, and this church will ignite and never go out. In fact, this church will take the fire all across the countries and ignite little fires wherever they go, and the little fires will grow into huge fires, and the darkness will have to admit that the light has come. Amen. Acts 2 verse 1 says, the day the fire fell when the whole world was set on fire. So we're going to read Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all in one mind, in one accord, in total unity. And this is what God has been trying to do with the people in this church, get us in one mind and in total unity. When that day happens, Acts is going to happen in here, and God's fire is going to fall upon us, and you watch and see. That's going to be the glory, and you watch and see what God's going to do all throughout the land through each and every one of you. Then God went on to say, many will stand in awe as they watch my word unfold right before their very eyes, and they shall marvel at all the miracles that are occurring. And God told me a couple of months ago that we are now in a dispensation of awe, A-W-E, all right? And he said, many will stand in awe as they watch my word unfold right before their very eyes, and they shall marvel at all the miracles that are occurring. The book of Acts is here, and it will remain until my son returns to take his children on home. Then I put down Exodus 19:18. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. I thought that was neat. That's why I put that on there. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So it said that God descended, came down on the mountain in fire. And so he's going to come upon us in fire. Then God goes on to say, time after time, stadiums will be filled to overflowing because of the transparency within my chosen vessels. No more doubt nor fear will prevail because of this awesome spectacle of the transparency of my church. When you get to that transparent stage where you know, everybody will know who you are inside and out, then you're going to win people to Christ. Because people watch you. They can tell if you're fully immersed in God or if you're just on the surface and you're still hiding things deep within. People can tell that about you. God went on to say, my church has given my kingdom a bad name, but all that will disappear as the lights go throughout the land doing the greater works. John 4, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to find out what the greater works are. I'm just too tired. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Are you listening? He who believes in me will do greater works. So if you truly believe in God, if you're truly following him with the very depth of your heart, then you're going to do the greater works. Then God went on to say, hundreds, even thousands, will be healed in one service. The grandstands will not be able to hold all the souls that will rush in to hear the gospel and be healed of every and all infirmities. God went on to say, this gospel of truth will continue to go forth and set the captives free. The streets will come alive with revival fires, and every street corner will be abuzz about what is occurring all across the land. Then God went on to say, you will see the naysayers bow their knees, and you will see the enemy destroyed on all sides. Isn't that what the Philadelphia church, God says about them, that Satan will come and have to agree that we were of God? are. Now, then God went on to say, the light will become brighter and brighter until every soul is reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My son is waiting in great anticipation for the final day when he can go and gather the children and bring them on home. Then he went on to say, many will come and sit for hours just to be in the presence of the glory, and the glory will be filling building after building, and so many miracles occurring all across these buildings. So some of you get your little, when you have your little roast in the oven, you're going to meet somebody at a restaurant to have dinner, you're going to have to stop that. Because you don't know when and if you're ever going to leave the church. The glory will fall on you, just be in the church, be knocked out, be in the church. Amen. God went on to say, testimony after testimony will be spoken, and so many more will believe just because of the testimonies. I keep telling you, well, God keeps telling you through me that it's your testimony that the people are going to bring the people in. And Revelation 12:11 said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. You aren't going to be afraid to go out there and testify what God does for you. If somebody calls you a liar and shoots you, you won't care. You're just going to go out there and freely give your testimony. Then God went on to say, some will still be naysayers, but many more will receive my son and his words of truth. God says, church, you are in a dispensation of time that many of my chosen ones dreamed of, but came home to be with me before it came into fruition. He went on to say, now it is your turn to bring the gospel to the streets. And now it is your time to come up hither and sit at my feet and just enjoy the soothing comfort of the glory that you will take back to the peoples just as Moses did. You're listening here. You're going to sit at his feet and get the anointing to take to the people. Moses was not warring on the mountain. He was sitting in my presence receiving the anointing he needed to lead my people to safety. Let's read that again. Moses, when he was on the mountain with God, Moses was not warring on the mountain. He was sitting in my presence, receiving the anointing he needed to lead my people to safety. God says, likewise, you too will do the very same thing. Do not think this is a strange thing, little ones, for I have spoken of this time for over a decade now, and now it is here, and now you are ready to go forth and bring in the harvest. Now, he says, it's here. This could fall on us tonight. It could fall on you whenever you're getting in your car and you fall out on the street. We used to have that happen, didn't we? People would pick up, put them in their cars, and drive them home. You know, it could happen when you go home and getting ready to go to bed, and the glory of God just smack you, go knock you on the bed, and you just be out in the spirit all night long. Amen? Then God goes on to say, stay transparent. Allow all to see the Jesus in you and allow them to hear the Jesus speak through you. You are taking my son Jesus to the streets, and you will bring in the harvest with the truth of my word. Do not take this lightly. It is a very serious thing we are doing in this time frame of time. There's that time frame of time you spoke about a couple months ago. You will see as you get started just how serious this is. You will be as my son Jesus was when he walked this earth. Isn't that awesome? God goes on to say, everywhere you go, and I mean everywhere you go, souls will be brought into the kingdom because of the signs and wonders. You have been asking for this time, and now it is upon you. Are you ready? Well, ready or not, here I come. And I'm coming swiftly, and I'm coming with my angelic army, and together we all will bring in this great and mighty harvest of souls. He goes on to say, be at peace now and just linger around the throne and allow me to download all that you need for each and every day. Well, we should go up to the throne room every day before we start to do anything and get a download so we can come back down here and do what God's telling us to do, right? Then he goes on to say, the multitudes are coming into my house. Are you ready for them? And are you able to minister on a one-to-one basis with them? For they are going to need one-on-one ministry. Hello? If you can't go and pick somebody up and bring them to church, you're not ready for one-on-one ministry. If you aren't ready to put up with a drug addict, you're not ready for one-on-one ministry. God went on to say, just as David fought and defeated Goliath, so you shall defeat every giant in the land and take back the harvest he has stolen. He also will return all of your personal harvest he has stolen. Now, I thought that was interesting. hey, shout for joy, because the hour has come and now is for the great rejoicing all across this mighty nation. He was excited when he was saying this. And I was sleepy. Amen. Come on. It is trumpet blowing time. It is rejoicing and dancing time. It is time to celebrate until the cows come home. We are going into the most marvelous Christmas season you have ever encountered. And we are going in singing the praises of heaven and shouting victory. Period. That was the end of his little word he was giving to us. Come on. Wasn't that good? Come on. He said, it's trumpet blowing time. It is rejoicing and dancing time. It is time to celebrate until the cows come home. We are going into the most marvelous Christmas season you have ever encountered, and we are going in singing the praises of heaven and shouting victory. Now this rest is a little bit of teaching from me about transparency. But wasn't God's word good? You know, doesn't that make you excited? If it doesn't, then you're dead. We'll get an oil can and pour oil over you. Amen? Come on. So now this is what I'm saying now. As we read the word, we see that it teaches us that the church must have the fire of God's Spirit burning to accomplish the task of living the life of faith and reaching the lost for Christ. And no substitute fire will do. I wanted to share something, you know, not tonight, but the last two nights, when I was sitting there, somebody would tap me on the shoulder, and I'd look because Isaiah would walk up there and tap me on the shoulder. Wasn't anybody there. That happened one night. Next night, I was sitting there quietly and looked, nobody there. So tonight, I was waiting, no tap. I know there was an angel in here, and he tapped me on the shoulder both nights. Amen? All right. There's no going to be no substitute for the fire. It's going to be real fire. I've seen people just try to make themselves have fire. I've seen them try to make themselves, you know, you can't do that. And you know, I used to hear preachers say, anybody can do this. And I'm thinking, that's not right. But you have to have the anointing to do everything. And this is why people got discouraged in the house of God, because they would say, you can just do this. But they never tell them that you have to die to self. They never tell you that you have to have an anointing. And I never said anything. I just was quiet because I didn't want to discourage anybody. But, you know, somebody should have spoke up. I mean, I don't say that, but before I became a pastor, somebody should have spoke up and said, you can do this if you submit yourself to God. You know, totally and complete. Then you'll have the power and authority to do this. But you guys, you know, you have the power and authority to do it. You can do this. Yes. Amen. Come on. You've been dying for a long time. So you're ready, right? All right, question. Is there any value in living a humble, contrite, and transparent life? That's probably you're asking that question. We need to understand that Jesus also lived a transparent life. And if we as Christians want to influence unbelievers to turn to him, then we need to also learn how to develop this into our own character. God calls us not to live in a life of hypocrisy, trying to cover up our sin and our problems, acting as though we do not have any. You hear that? But to deal with our baggage quickly and openly, giving the devil no opportunity to come against us or to use secret sin as a foothold in our life and a foundation to build more iniquity upon. I'm going to stop there. You know, people, you say to me, you should not tell all your stuff you tell about yourself. You just should not tell that. That doesn't look good. I said, I'm not going to have any skeletons in my closet. You're going to find out what I've done anyhow. And they said, ah, stay there. She stood there trying to act like she was God. And all the time she had these secrets. I don't have any secret sins. My closet's wide open, you know. And I spill it out all the time what the dumb things I do, don't I? Yeah. So don't, if you know, if you've done something wrong, you can get a pulpit, you can take a chair and stand up, look in the mirror. This is what I've done, God, and I need to give it to you. Amen? All right, if we try to hide our problems, Satan will use them against us. And you know, and that was always in my spirit for some reason or other. I did not want to give God a bad name. And so I just revealed everything that I've done so that the enemy doesn't have anything in a closet to put his hand in there and pull out. at his opportune time, because that's what he does, doesn't he? But if we confess our sins to one another and pray over them, then the devil is powerless to use it against us as gossip and misunderstandings. Everybody in here, you should have somebody you can call and say, I messed up. I don't call Brett and Nancy hardly at all anymore because I quit messing up. But when I'd mess up, didn't I call you and say, I need prayer because I just messed up? You know, and I've had to finally got myself through that messed up mess. But you need somebody to call and say, I really need prayer because I messed up. And if I don't get rid of this, I won't be able to preach the gospel. I'm no good to God. All right? So I said, you need to confess to one another. Well, I said, but if we confess our sins to one another and pray over them, then the devil is powerless to use it against us as gossip and misunderstandings. Confess sin loses its hold on our lives, and it loses its power over us. So let's read that again. But if we confess our sins to one another and pray over them, not gossip over them. Do you know what they did? Your eyes tore wide open. Boy, you can't wait to get that little juicy bit of stuff out there. You know, if I come to you and say, you know, I really need prayer, I really messed up. You can't hardly wait till God booms, you pick up the phone. Do you know what Pastor Barbara just said? She just did. See what I'm saying? We don't do that. We need to have somebody we can trust and share, you know, share our problem. I don't share other people's problems, but share my own problems, you know, because I have to look inward, keep myself clean. God will take care of everybody else, but I have to make sure I keep myself clean. Luke 18:9 says, although Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Let's read that beginning again. Also, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. In other words, you think you're all that and then some, but then you talk about your brother. This is what Jesus said. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, I was writing this scripture out, and I thought just 3 days ago, I just sat at my desk with my hands in my face. I said, God, I'm such a sinner. Please come and wash me clean. You know, I just was having a bad day. That was a bug. I'm not waving at you. I was just having a bad day, you know. So I had to go to the Father and say, you know, I just cried out. I really cried out. I really cried. And God said, it's okay, daughter. It's all right. You're washed clean. Get up and go on. You know, and if you keep yourself humble before God like that, you won't have a heap of garbage to get rid of, because you'll be throwing the garbage out one piece at a time. All right? Tonight, you need to ask yourself, who am I in this scenario that we just read? Am I thanking God that I do not dress as tastelessly as Sister So-and-so, and did you see what a mess her house is? Am I judgmental of my brother's language or choice of friends? Am I critical of the pastor's children? Amen? Come on. Or am I standing before the altar weeping, not able to raise my head because I am yet a sinner? I am not worthy to be used of God as I am, and yet he has used me, even miraculously. Which one are you? Can you remember the depths from which he has brought you? Is there a risk to living transparently? And is there a cost? John 9, verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When Jesus had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And Jesus said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." You never ever think that that man wouldn't have went and washed, he wouldn't have received his sight. It wasn't the clay, it was his obedience that healed his eyesight. Then they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, you know, I asked you as a question. What was my question I asked you before I started reading that scripture? I said to you, is there a risk to living transparently, and is there a cost? All right. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." And others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. Some believed it was God, some didn't believe. Here we have a story of Jesus doing a miracle. A man's eyesight was restored, yet were they happy? The man was very happy, but the religious folk were not. They were offended. Jesus dared to do a miracle right out in the open, right on the Sabbath, in front of everyone on the holiest of days when the crowds were out. He was the light of the world, and he was not afraid to shine before men. See that? In other words, the scripture is saying, are you willing to go out there and do the works of God and have everybody scorn you? So I said, if they persecuted Jesus for doing a miracle, how much more will they persecute you? You and I, for living out our Christian life in front of them. We are a miracle of transformed lives. We must live that out and be a light in the very presence of darkness, sin, and despair in our land. You hear this? You know, you're just going to have to preach the gospel. I don't care what you do. You're just going to have to preach. If you really want to be transparent, you're not going to be able to hide your walk with God. People are going to have to see what you are doing in order to believe. People are not going to understand you at times. This is all stuff I've gone through in these 40-some years. People are not going to understand you at times, but God does, because God's the one that's telling you what to do. You're just going to have to do what God's telling you to do, period. Doesn't matter what your family thinks. It doesn't matter what your boss thinks. It doesn't matter what your next-door neighbor thinks. You have to do what God's telling you to do. All right? You know my testimony, where the one day the whole family was in the kitchen and all hell had broke loose, and God said, "Kick the devil out of your kitchen right now. If you don't, the sword will always be in your home." And I looked at my family sitting there, and they already thought I'd lost my mind anyhow, and I didn't do it. The sword has never left my home, because I looked at the man's faces, you know, my family's faces, and I didn't want them to think I was going completely off the edge. You understand what I'm saying? So now I live with a sword in my home. It's my own making. Think about that the next time God tells you to do something and you look around and you don't want to be made a fool of. But you have to make sure God's telling you to do it, too. I told you a story about one time my praise and worship leader wanted a prayer, and I prayed for her, and God should shake her really good. And I said, "I'm not going to shake her." And then I just prayed for her, and she said, "Why?" She used to call me Mom, "Why didn't you shake me?" I said, "What?" She said, "God told you to shake me, and you didn't do it. If you'd have shook me," I'd have been free, but I'm still bound." And she's still bound to this day, 40 years later, just because I didn't want to look foolish by shaking her. Then after that, I read where I can't remember the guy's name, that preacher, he had three older ladies standing in front of him, and God told him to shake them. He shook them so hard their bobby pins flew out of their hair and everything else, but they all went out in the spirit and were set free. I wish I'd read the book before God told me to shake her. But see, we just have to do what God's telling us to do. All right. So I'm saying, yes, we will be persecuted, expected, stop receiving the condemnation. We must not take offense. Whatever they did to Jesus, they will do to you. God told me that. Whatever they did to his son, they're going to do to you. Tonight, God is calling us to radical transparency, and will you answer that call? Radical transparency. You're going to quit hiding behind your sin. You're going to get it out in the open and quit it. Because if you don't, God's going to reveal it. Your attitudes have got to change. You're just going to have to be totally transparent.
We serve a great and awesome God. We just thank him so much for giving us his prophetic word through his servant, Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch. We pray that you be blessed in this season.